Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
There's been some Christmas celebrating going on in recent days here at the ranch. And a lot of discussion has been happening in various quarters about Christmas. And my wife and I had a lengthy discussion last evening. Not an argument, a discussion, a real genuine discussion. And we talked about our different experiences growing up. Our circumstances as kids were very different. Her family had more money than my family did. My family had more Jesus than her family did. And we just kind of shared a little bit about what our experiences were like and what it was like then when we married and sort of began trying to figure out how our family was going to celebrate Christmas. And the first Christmas that she was not with her family to celebrate, because she and I had married and we were spending that Christmas at my parents' home. At that time, we took turns going to one set of parents one year and the other set of parents the next year. But the first time that she missed Christmas with her family, one of them decided that it would be nice in her absence to hang a framed portrait of her that normally was on the wall, take that and hang that from the ceiling in the middle of the living room so that she would still kind of be with them in spirit, okay? And they came into the living room to celebrate Christmas, and the tree was here, and there was my wife portrayed hanging from the ceiling. And they all sat down on the floor and wept. Merry Christmas. I thought that was extremely dysfunctional. But I mean, to them it was like, you know, our one of the children has left the nest. They had six kids. And one of them has left the nest and we miss her so much. And my family never would have done that. But I'll tell you, my family, we had our own dysfunction. We had our own strangeness. And not having money, anything that I wanted in the way of a toy that might cost market price, I was strongly encouraged to wait until after Christmas when the prices were slashed. Now, the problem with that is they're not necessarily still available in the stores. They may be sold out. But if you're willing to take the risk and you haven't just got your heart set on one thing, then there was a much better chance that mom and dad would be able to afford that for you after Christmas. And so you sort of hurry to JCPenney or Sears and Roebuck and see, is it there? Is it there? And sure enough, most of the time it was there. I've told some of you in years past about one of the toys that I was most desperate to have when I was 8 years old. There was a show called Secret Agent Man, and as Christmas drew near, the marketers came up with a secret agent attaché, a case, a briefcase, and it was so cool. They showed a boy about my age wearing what undoubtedly was a London Fog trench coat. And he was in some sort of public building where there were tropical-looking plants, potted, of course. And he had this secret agent attaché with which he could press a button and a hidden camera inside the attaché would take pictures through the side. There was a little hole, okay? And as I recall, there was even a toy gun that went with this. And I mean, it was, 8 years old, I had to have it. I just had to have it. That was the coolest thing. I could be like Secret Agent Man. And so I wanted that so desperately, and my parents said, we cannot afford to get that for you, which was true. That was not an exaggeration. My parents were poor. But they said, after Christmas, we'll see if the price has come down. Well, I was very disappointed to have to wait. But after Christmas, we went to the store, and they had still the Secret Agent Man attaché case marked down. It was like half price. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I opened it up, and I saw, this is stupid. This is cheesy. This is lousy. Why would I want this? All of a sudden, I felt like such a fool, and I was so grateful that my parents had not bought it for me, because by January, I would have had buyer's remorse. I mean, the whole thing just fell apart. But for me, as an 8-year-old, at that Christmas, the thing that was so wonderful, so special, was a Secret Agent Man attaché that I might get after Christmas. What is Christmas all about? Why do we have a celebration one day of the year? When we were studying the gospel according to Luke, immediately we were right into the Christmas story. But didn't we need to wait and do that now? No. As I told you then, Christians ought to be rejoicing in the miracle of the incarnation all year long. We ought always to be celebrating the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a day set apart. In the Old Testament, God commanded his people to have certain festivals and observances at the same time every year in order that they might remember what God had done. They were to do these things to remember what God had done. And the church, therefore, in the new covenant, naturally began observing certain things throughout the year in order to remember what God had done. And the Western Church celebrates Christmas as December 25th. The Eastern Church celebrates in early January. I think it's the 6th. But we don't know the precise date that Jesus was born. We just know that Jesus was born, and that changed everything. And so we celebrate it in order that we not forget and in order that our children might learn. But hasn't a whole lot of pagan stuff crept in? Yes. Tons of pagan stuff has crept into the annual celebration that we call Christmas. One central figure for most of society, most families, is the jolly old fat man. Santa Claus became a more important figure for many people's Christmas than Jesus. I mean, which is more exciting? A guy who brings magically your favorite toys for Christmas? Or a baby lying in a manger? I mean, that's easy for most people. Give me the guy who comes down the chimney. I'll leave him cookies and milk. My kids grew up knowing that there was a man named Saint Nicholas. And by the way, If you don't have this little book, if you've never gotten a copy of this, we'd be glad for you to have a copy and you take it with you on your Christmas holiday, okay? It tells the story of St. Nicholas. It tells about how he was a bishop, and I definitely invented a little narrative for him to be sharing the gospel with a little boy he was helping, but it's based on the historic Bishop of Myra, who did share the gospel and gave things to poor people in his community and became greatly loved. His name was Nicholas. He was the Bishop of Myra, and he was the original Saint Nick. But the story of Saint Nicholas got merged with mythical stuff about a guy who became kind of Father Christmas, and the stories grew and the stories grew, and pretty soon he was riding through the sky in a sleigh pulled by reindeer, and he made it to the homes of all the children, and in order to get inside, he came down the chimney. And then the songs gave us the fact that he's like God, omniscient. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Oh, actually, it's not for goodness sake. It's so I'll get the toys. I want to be on a good list. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. It displeases the Lord. No. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. What a sick mindset. Okay? Now we've got Elf on a shelf. Okay? He's going to tell Santa if you're misbehaving. This is sick. This is twisted. This is not Christmas. This is a counterfeit. It's a substitute. And I want you to understand, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. It is not about Santa or a reindeer named Rudolph, who we can all relate to because we too have been rejected by others, but we know in our hearts we would be heroes if they just let us be the ones leading. Well, some years ago I took a number of scriptures and introduced them this way, and I'll share that this morning. Christmas is America's favorite holiday, loved by children of every age and the Chamber of Commerce. For weeks, there is a flurry of activity as masses of people try desperately to have a good time. Sound depressing? It is for many people. In fact, mental health professionals indicate that the holiday season is one of the most difficult times of the year for many people who are struggling with loneliness, depression, or interpersonal conflict. Advertisers bombard us with images of other people having a great time. Happy families gathered around tables laden with home-cooked delicacies. Carols sung around a piano with a warm fire nearby. Hot chocolate and eggnog offered to rosy-cheeked carolers. A thoughtful child who gives a thoughtful card to Santa or a neighbor. These are the images that spell Christmas to many modern Americans. Other people focus at this season on acts of goodwill toward those less fortunate. Money drops into a kettle as a uniformed saint smiles and rings a small bell. Food baskets are distributed, nursing homes are visited. Various agencies thank people for their kindness and gently remind us that the needs will not go away in January. But what is the meaning of Christmas? Books have been written on the subject. Beloved songs remind us of the Christmas story. The experiences of life add new dimensions of personal meaning with the passage of years. But the Bible reminds us that Christmas was God's idea. And this, dear people, is the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That is what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus. Not just Jesus' birth, but Jesus' birth so that he could live a sinless life and then offer his life as an atoning sacrifice on the cross. The baby in the manger would be of no value to us if he had not been God come to save us. And it is because of God's grace that all children are valuable. The baby in the manger is a reminder that God loves us, young and old. As we said last time, whether you're young or old, rich or poor, in happy circumstances or in difficult circumstances, God loves you. And that's why Jesus came. He came to save us. That's God's gift. Thanks be to God, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It is more wonderful than we can put into words. I have two things I want to challenge you to do. Number one, this Christmas, as you're celebrating wherever you are, make it about Jesus. It's not about the food. It's not about fun and games. It's not about family and the people you'll be with. All of those things are nice. But if Jesus isn't the focus, you have missed Christmas. You've missed it. Well, but we should enjoy family. And so, yes, that's all good. And it is good to do charitable things for others. Yes, what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, is his conclusion to a lengthy section about the importance of giving to help those who are in need. Encouraging people to give generously in light of what God has done for us. We should do that. But ultimately, the reason we're giving to help others is because of what God gave to save us. The reason that we should be celebrating and having a good time, having a feast, is because God gave us his son to save us. So, challenge number one, work at making Jesus the focus this Christmas. Whatever you're doing, how does this tie to Jesus? Well, the lights on the tree are like Jesus being the light of the world. Good, remember that. Say it a few times. Okay? Well, the star at the top is like the star of Bethlehem. Good, remember that. Say it a few times. Okay? Sister Schubert's rolls remind me of Jesus who is the bread of life. Okay, all right. Keep the focus on Jesus. Got it? And the second challenge that I have for you today is share that good news with others. Not by trying to tell them about how Sister Schubert's rolls can be a spiritual experience, but by telling them what Jesus has done for you. By sharing with them to the extent that they'll let you. And some people will not listen, and you're not supposed to grab them and say, I want to tell you something. God loves you. That's not the most effective way. But if you will be loving and kind and unselfish toward others, it may well open the door for you just to share that Jesus has done a work in your heart and that you're so grateful for what he did for you. Look for opportunities to bless others, not just with material things. It's fine to give gifts. It's fine to receive gifts. But make the focus on the gift, Jesus. Because that, folks, is what Christmas is all about.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. I recently got a phone call from somebody who'd never heard our broadcast before, and that's a joy. I love it that new folks are finding and discovering Abiding in Christ and being encouraged by the message. Appreciated so much that lady's call and the opportunity I had to talk with her and pray with her about the situations that she and her family are going through. But in the course of that conversation, the question came up about the ranch. What is Ware's Valley Ranch? I am so glad to answer that question. I hope if you haven't been to our website, you'll go there and see wvr.org. Ware's Valley Ranch is a miraculous place where God is changing the lives of children who come from difficult situations. Children who've been through various kinds of trauma may have lost a parent to cancer or to a car wreck, may have lost a parent to prison or drug abuse, or any number of other circumstances. Some of these kids have a parent who cares very much about them, but is just not, at the present time, able to take care of them. All the children who come to the ranch have been through various kinds of painful loss, and they need your prayers, and they need your support. The ranch doesn't take any money from the government. The ranch never incurs any debt. We only spend what God provides. And I hope that you'll join us in making a difference in the lives of children for eternity. You can do it. And I hope you'll go to Ware's Valley Ranch's website, wvr.org, and find out how. If you have questions, if you want to know more about the financials, we are happy to answer questions. You're welcome to look at the 990. You're welcome to review anything about our policies, whatever you want to know. We will do our best to answer those questions because we believe if you're going to make an investment, you ought to know where you're giving. But folks, please pray and please ask God what he would have you to do in order to make a difference in the lives of these children. He loves these kids. We know that. And that's why this place exists. So help us as you're able, especially as this year is drawing toward an end. Please help us.
and pray for us as often as God brings us to mind. God bless you, and have a great night.